Tonight, the book of Revelation, chapter 6. Book of Revelation, chapter 6. I was going to, I just didn't have time, to be honest with you, this week. Been under so much pressure and all. No, just kidding you. I want to do a, get you a graph. I'll try to get that done this week so you can remember the seven sealed book. And what chapter 6 deals with is the seven sealed book. We were introduced to it. I mentioned some about it in Revelation chapter 5, and I didn't explain it much other than the fact that saying it's a book with seven seals on it. Each one of these seals in the seven sealed book represents certain events. Now, what I'm going to do is, that's why I wish to have my graph, but what I'm going to do is give you the seal numbers, and I'm going to give you what they represent. I'm going to do that in the beginning. Does that sound good? And if you've got a pen and paper, you can write these down. Now, the seven sealed book, remember, this is what their books look like. They were always in scroll form. Usually what they used to seal them was candle wax. And what this book has on, of course, this book represents our future. But until Jesus sets up His kingdom on a new heaven and a new earth, these events are going to be happening. Okay? And once all these events are done, then this book is what? It's sealed right now, but one of these days this book's going to be open. It's our future. And beloved, I want to tell you tonight, we have a glorious future ahead of us. We got a glorious future ahead of us. I couldn't imagine living in this world without the expectation of going to heaven one of these days. And we're either going to go by death or we're going to go by rapture. I'd like to go by rapture. I would like to. Would you? I'd like to go up by rapture. I told you Betty McClung told me. I asked, I said, well, now, would you like to live to the rapture? Don't make no difference to me, she said. Don't make any difference to me. Either way, whatever the Lord decides is fine with me. I just know where I'm going. That's what she said. I thought that I was blessed by that. So, let me go ahead and explain the seven seal book to you again. And what I'm going to do tonight in Revelation chapter 6, what I'm going to deal with is just the first four seals. Just the first four. And I'm going to give a division tonight for all seven of them. But I'm just going to give you the first four seals tonight. Okay, are you ready? Let me go ahead and tell you what those are. I should have given you a piece of paper with it on there, but I'll just go ahead and tell you about them. Seal 1 through 4. Represents a general tribulation that's going on in the earth right now. A general tribulation. And when I say general, it's happening to the saved and it's also happening to the lost. There's a general tribulation. The book of Acts 14 and verse 22 says, we through much tribulation will enter into the kingdom of heaven. So this is also a time of tribulation. And we're going to talk about some of those tribulations that's mentioned here in Seal 1 through 4. So here's what I'm telling you. Seal 1 through 4 is a general tribulation that's happening both on saved people and on lost people. Now, when I use the word tribulation, don't think I'm talking about the great tribulation period out in the future. That's not what I'm speaking of. And whenever I teach on it tonight, I hope I make that clear when we're dealing with it. So seal 1 through 4 represents a general tribulation that's going on now. And that tribulation is represented by four horsemen. You ever heard of the four horsemen? I mean, usually there was four running backs for Notre Dame years ago they called the four horsemen, but they got that out of the Bible. The four horsemen represent four events, and we're going to talk about them. And these events that these four horsemen and the events that they represent are going on and happening over and over again. And that's why they're tribulations. Seal number 5 is a tribulation on the saved. That's also going on right now. God's people have been a person. See, it's not a general tribulation. That's why I said seal 1 through 4 represents a general tribulation going on in the earth. But seal 5 is a specific tribulation that's going on with regard to saved people. God's people have been persecuted, beloved, ever since they've been on this planet. At some times the persecution is hotter. Other times the persecution is lighter. In the dark ages, In the trail of blood, B.H. Kill writes, is it B.H. or J.M.? We don't make any difference, I don't guess. Is B.H.? J.M. J.M. Kill writes there's 50 million killed in the Dark Ages. And that's a conservative estimate. You go back and look in the Dark Ages and you see the persecution and the number of God's people that were put to death. Nearly all the apostles died martyrs' death. There's a great host, and the martyrs are specifically mentioned in the book of Revelations, those who died for the cause of Christ, and that could still happen. God's people, historically, has been persecuted ever since the world was created all the way down to the day. God's people has been persecuted. God's people in the Old Testament, God started the nation of Israel, and through Israel, He was going to bring who? Who was He going to bring through Israel? The Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And Satan persecuted Israel. And then the Messiah was born. And then the Lord Jesus, you know, when He was here, He was persecuted. Then He established His churches. And then they were persecuted. God's people, beloved, has always been persecuted. That's represented by Seal 5. Okay? So here's what I'm telling you tonight. Seal 1 through 5 is already happening in this book. Seal 1 through 5 is already happening and has been happening and will continue to happen till we get to what seal? What's after 5? Seal 6. Seal 6 is the rapture. Seal 6 is the rapture. And Seal 6 takes place in chapter 6, verses 12 through 17, and in chapter 7. Chapter 6, 12 through 17, and chapter 7 is seal number 6. I don't say rapture of the church either, by the way. I say rapture of the saved. A church is a local assembly. That's what a church is. When you're talking about the kingdom of God, that's all the saved. When you're talking about the family of God, that's all the saved. But to use the word church in a general fashion such as that, that's not what a church is. Church is a local assembly that Jesus established in Matthew 16 and 18. And when you look in the book of Acts, that's what you see. Everywhere they went, what did they establish when people were saved in an area? They started churches. When you look at the New Testament, you look at Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Romans. Somebody tell me what those were. Those were churches. Everywhere they went, they established local churches. And they set pastors there to teach the people. And what these churches did was they carried on the commission to teach the word, to spread the gospel, teach the word, and to administer the Lord's ordinances. After someone is in the kingdom, after someone's been born again, they need to be a part and serve God in one of His churches. All God's people said they need to do that. Okay? So seal 1 through 4 represents a general tribulation that's going on now. We're going to look at that tonight. Seal number 5 represents a tribulation that's going on now. And God's people are being persecuted. And sometimes that persecution is rougher than others. At some places, it's rougher than others. But God's people will always be persecuted up until the time that God takes His people out of here. Seal number 6 represents the rapture. And then the last seal, seal number 7, is divided. The seventh seal is divided into 7 trumpets. Now, and then it's divided into 7 bowls. So the seventh seal represents the destruction of the earth. Is God going to destroy this place? Going to destroy it by fire? He done destroyed it once. He destroyed it by water. It's where all the fossils came from. They come from the great flood. He's going to see. He said he'd never again. The rainbow means that he'll never again destroy it by water, but he didn't say he wouldn't destroy it by fire. He will destroy this earth by fire. And that's what the seventh seal is. The seventh seal is the destruction of the world. And it's a fiery destruction. All right, now write this down. The seventh seal is divided into 7 trumpets. The seventh seal is divided. What happens? You have an angel blow a trumpet and a judgment falls. Have another angel come and blows a trumpet and a judgment falls. You'll see it in chapter 8 and chapter 9. 3, 4, 5, 6, till you come to the 7th. And then the seventh trumpet is divided into seven, y'all remember? Seven bowls. It's called seven bowls of wrath. So they drop out a bowl and a judgment comes and another judgment time. And then what it's doing is describing the destruction of the earth. God's going to destroy this earth. And that's what the seventh seal is all about. Now, is that good enough for you tonight? Now, if you missed a lot of that, I'm going to keep going over this till you know it. Because I want you to know it. Because this, I think, is the key to the book. Are you ready now? That was just an introduction. Let's go to Revelation 6. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at verses 1 through 8. And we're going to look at the first four seals. Okay? And we're going to title this tonight, The Four Horsemen. The Four Horsemen, Seal 1 through 4. That's what we're going to do this evening. Now, if I get that done in 5 minutes, we'll quit. And if I get that done in 5 minutes, that would rank right up there parting the Red Sea, wouldn't it? There ain't no way I'll get it done, but real early, but we'll do the best we can with the time. Remember what the title is, The Four Horsemen, Seal 1 through 4. Let's go ahead and begin in Revelation 6. Let's begin at verse 1. And I saw when the land opened one of the seals. Right, here's one of the seals. See the seven seal book? Each one of these represents events that's happening now. Remember, the first five are happening now. We're waiting on the sixth one, which is the rapture of the saved. And then the seventh is the destruction. This is the book that he's speaking of. It's been what it would look like. And I saw when the Lamb had opened one of the seals, I heard as it were the noise of thunder. And one of the four beasts said, "Come and see." And he said, "I saw and behold a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Now you'll notice what kind of horse he's on. What color is it? It's a white horse. He has a bow, but he doesn't have any arrows. But he does have a bow. He does a lot of damage. But I want to show you a little something else. Turn to Revelation 19. Turn to Revelation 19. You stay with me. Revelation chapter 19. And let's see if I can find this for you. Notice verse 11. Now in Revelation 19 is the marriage supper of the Lamb. It represents Jesus. And you have a picture of Jesus coming out of heaven on what color horse? Look at verse 11, Revelation 19:11. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. That's a description of Jesus. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. You look on up at verse 16, he had on his vesture. Here's another way you can see who he is. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Who are we talking about on that white horse? That represents Jesus. Well, back here, when looking at these seals, these four horsemen are enemies of mankind. And you'll notice in the first one, he's on a white horse, the one that's represented in Revelation 6:1. He said, "Behold, a white horse, and him that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." What in the world does this represent? Well, it represents false religion. They're seeking to appear like Christ. Remember, Christ comes out of heaven on a white horse. So here, this horseman is seeking to mimic who? Seeking to mimic Christ. Now, what else will help us with this? If you'll turn to Matthew 24, now I want you to keep a finger in it or a piece of paper in it, because Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 has the same message as Revelation 6 does. Revelation 6 and 7 and 8. We use Matthew 24 to help us interpret Revelation chapter 6. Revelation 6, Matthew 24 is talking about the same things. So this horse, this white horse, what I'm telling you tonight represents false what? False religion. Now, Jesus spoke of this also in Matthew 24. He's speaking about the second coming. He's speaking about last things. He's speaking about the last days. And notice the first thing he mentions here in Matthew 24 and verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto him, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. All God's people see it. Everybody see it? Many will come in my name, claiming to represent Jesus, and they will deceive many. That's the same, that's exactly what John sees in Revelation 6. It's likened to a white horse. These are groups of people, preachers, false religion, people that peddle a false gospel, and they're out and they're claiming to represent Jesus, but that's why it's so difficult for people today. How do you know you're right? You ever have everybody tell, how do you know you're right? How do you know who to follow? I mean, there's all kinds of different religions, aren't there? People say there's all kinds of different roads. All kinds of different roads. You ever heard it? All kinds of different roads, but all of those roads leads to heaven. If you show me in the Bible where that says that, I'll believe it. The Bible says there's one road that leads to heaven. There's not 10 roads that leads to heaven. There's one road. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man goes to the Father but by me. Acts 4:12 said, there's none other name given amongst men. None other name under heaven given amongst men whereby you must be saved. You know, if you look, every nation on this world is under heaven. Every nation on this world is under heaven. And there's none other name under heaven whereby you can be saved other than through Jesus. Jesus is the Savior for the United States. He's the Savior for Russia. He's the Savior for any nation in the world. That's why He says in the commission to preach the gospel to every creature, to spread His gospel into all the world, because there's only one name. There's only one way. There's only one road. Sometimes people say I'm narrow-minded. It's a narrow way. It's a narrow way. The Bible says broad is the way that leads to destruction. But it says narrow is the way that leads to life. And here's what else it says. And few there be that find it. All God's people see it. Well, this represents false religion. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Look down to Matthew 24 and 24. And I'm telling you, these things are going on right now. We're not waiting to see whether false religion is going to come on the scene. It's been on the scene. Now, I'm not going to deal with this tonight. I've given you that know me, I've given to you this enough in the past. I think the Antichrist is already here too. I don't think we're waiting on the Antichrist to come either. Verse 24, for there shall rise false Christ. Listen to this. There shall rise false Christ, false prophets, and they will show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they could deceive God's very elect. There it tells you there will be false Christ, false prophets. Beloved, that's why you need to know the book. That's why you need to study your Bible and know your Bible. That's why you need to be good Bereans and receive the Word with readiness of mind. I want you to hear me. Receive the Word with readiness of mind, then search the Scriptures to see whether it's so. And when you see it yourself, you know what it gives you? It gives you convictions. What I believe, I've asked the Lord about it, and I've searched the Scriptures to see whether it's so. And I have convictions about what I believe. I wouldn't teach it if I didn't believe it was true. I wouldn't teach it if I didn't believe it's so. But you need to see it yourself. And you need to take what I say and search it out and see whether it's so. That's what the Bereans did. They received the Word with readiness of man and they search the Scriptures to see whether it's so. Is there a false Christ today? Is there a false religion today? Is there a false preachers today? Is there a false gospels today? I'm telling you, that white horse is active today. And he's been active. He's been here. Still yet is here. Notice Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and note, this is another text you know. Matthew chapter 7, I want you to notice verse 21. I want you to listen to this now. Verse 21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. You know what the Father's will is? The Father's will is you believe on the Son. He provided His Son to pay your sin debt on Calvary's cross. He provided His Son to be born under the law so He could live a perfect life, go to Calvary, pay your sin debt, rise again the third day, conquering sin, death, and hell. And then when you trust Him as your Savior, He gives you victory over sin, death, and hell. It's all through Jesus. It's all through Jesus. Jesus is how you save. But there'll be many, many, verse 22, many will say to me in that day. Now, I want you to watch this. Lord, Lord, if we not prophesied in your name. These people claim to be prophets. I see a lot of so-called prophets on TV. They after your money. Watch one especially before I come. Made me mad before I left. They want your money. They want to get your money. You want your miracle, you got to send them your money. You know, the Bible said, when Jesus sent His disciples out and He gave them the ability to do miracles, He said, freely you receive, freely give. They charge for it. What they're doing, they're taking advantage of the weak and the sick and the elderly. Just like a bunch of buzzards. I don't know any easy way to say it, but you need to watch who you listen to, and you need to check out who you listen to, and you need to check me out too. You make sure what I'm telling you is the truth. Write it down in the book and check it out yourself. I want you to. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? They claim to be prophets. In your name we casted out demons, and in your name we've done many wonderful what? Works. Now let's lay here just a minute. What was the basis of this great, it says many, of this many, what was the basis of their salvation according to verse 22? Somebody shout it for me. It was their works, their deeds. It was their deeds. See, in your name we've done many wonderful, their basis of their salvation. All false churches' basis for salvation is works. Works-based salvation. See, salvation is by grace. You know what the word grace means? It's not a works. Now, I'm not saying that we don't change when we're born again. No, you do. I'm not saying we don't do good works when we're born again. We do. We do good works. But that's not what saves us. That's an evidence of salvation, but that's not what saves your soul. In your name we've done many wonderful works. Now notice what Jesus will tell these people in verse 23. Look at verse 23. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. What's he calling? Ye that work iniquity. These were religious people. These are religious people. That's why he wants you to test things by the tester. These are religious folks. These people thought they were saved. Who told them they were saved? It's false prophets, false preachers, false churches. They trusted a false way. Here's just another example of it in the text. Okay? Let's go back to Revelation 6. Let me move on. So the first horseman that we're noticing, the white horse, is a representation of false religion. Now, I'm going to tell you something, beloved. That's why you need to know the book. That's why you need to check people out that tells you the book. Make sure what they're telling you is so. You need to know because it's so. You don't. And let me tell you something. You don't need to believe it because I tell you. I want you to search it out see it for yourself, and if it's true, believe it. All God's people say it. That's all I ask. And when you see it yourself, does anybody know what it gives you? It gives you convictions. You see, I got convictions. I got convictions about these things. And I want you to have convictions too. Let's move on to horse number two, back to Revelation 6. Also, keep your finger or a piece of paper in Matthew 24 because they're parallel. I could do the same thing with Luke 21 and Mark 13. They're the same text. They're the same text. Okay, so seal number one represents false religion. The white horse pictures false religion. Are we waiting on false religion to hit this planet? That's why I say seal 1 through 4 is happening. Been happening. Always has been false religion on this earth. And always will be till King Jesus sets up His rule. Seal number two. He opens second seal. And I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red. Now, what's red a picture of? Bloodshed, shedding of blood. And power was given to him that set upon, power was given him that set there to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. So this is a picture of death, pestilence, death, sickness, disease, death by violence, death by sickness. Let's turn to Matthew 24 and see the parallel text now. You got your place there, Vanell? Matthew chapter 24. All right, now remember, we didn't look at verse 4 and 5. See, we're just interpreting 4 and 5. We're using Matthew 24. Jesus preached this sermon when He was here. We're using Jesus' interpretation to explain Revelation 6. That's all we're doing. We're using the Bible to interpret the Bible. That's the best way to interpret the Scriptures. All right, let's see if this matches. Verse 6. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war." See how it fixes the second one? Bloodshed. Taking peace from the earth. It says, "Then ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in different places." So here the red horse is a picture of wars and rumors of wars. Is that happening? How long has it been happening? Been happening a pretty long time, hasn't it? You go back into the day when the book of Revelation was written, it was happening then too. Did they have false religion? They had false religion then too. Did they have wars and rumors of wars? They surely did. It's always been. And will continue to be until who reigns? Somebody shout it. Jesus reigns. When the Prince of Peace reigns is when there'll be peace. But as long as this world is remaining, there's going to be these horsemen here. There'll be false religion, and they will be wars and there'll be wars and rumors of wars. I shouldn't do this, but let's turn to Isaiah 9 real fast. I'm going to try to get done. I don't want to try to give you too much at one time. And I want to get my notes done for you, too, to give you next week. Isaiah chapter 9. I get tore up. I can't already read this. I'm crying like a little girl. But I like Isaiah 9. I like Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, but especially verse 7. It says, verse 6 says, "This was written in 750 B.C. That's when it was written. For unto us a child is born." It's prophecy of the coming Messiah's birth. "Unto us a son is given." The government, "unto us a son is given," not sin. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, The everlasting Father. What's his last name there? What's the last name there? What is that? The Prince of what? Prince of Peace. That's my favorite name for my king. He is the Prince of Peace. He brought peace between us and God, didn't he? He bridged that gap, bringing us to God by paying our sin debt and giving us his righteousness. He is the Prince of Peace, and he will rule over a kingdom of perfect peace. And that's described in verse 7. Of the increase of his government and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. No end to what? No end to peace. We sing the song, don't we? All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day. Glorious day that'll be. That's talking about what he's talking about here. No end of peace. Of the increase of his government, this is when the Prince of Peace reigns, there'll be no end of peace. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord shall perform this. That's the Prince of Peace. That's our King. He is going to rule over our kingdom. So seal number 2 represents wars and rumors of wars. Do we have that today? We have false religion today? That's why I'm saying these are happening. Most generally when someone interprets Revelation 6, that's out there in the future. No, it's not. It's right around you. You're looking at it. You see false religion. You hear false religion. But you also see wars and rumors of wars too, don't you? You can't turn on television without seeing a threat of a war somewhere. It's constant. And it will be constant till when? Somebody tell me. Till the Prince of Peace reigns. Now, he's reigning now in heaven, but one of these days he's going to set his kingdom up on a new earth. And the book of Isaiah talks about that too. All right, y'all ready to move to seal number 3? Seal number 3. Remember, I'm telling you, these are going on now, and they are. And you can clearly see clear fulfillments of these things every day. Listen to the news, and you'll see clear fulfillments of wars and rumors of wars. And you'll see false religions with a lot of deceived people under them. Seal number 3 is Revelation 6. Notice 5 and 6. And when he'd opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." So he's showing these things to John. "And behold, lo, a black horse. And he that sat upon him had a pair of balances. And I heard him, as in the midst of the four beasts, saying, 'A measure of wheat for a penny. A measure of wheat for a penny. 3 measures of barley for a penny. And see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine.'" Seal number 3 represents famine. The word penny here is the word denarius. D-E-N-A-R-I-U-S, I think, is how it's spelled. A penny represents a laboring man's money for one day. One book I looked after said the denarius was equal to 10 donkeys. That's a lot of money, wasn't it? That's a lot of money. So a penny was a lot. But notice what it says in the text, back at verse 5 and 6. "Come and see, and behold, a black horse, he sat upon and had a pair of balances in his hand, a measure of wheat for a penny." A measure is about a quart. Now let's do the math. Here you got a quart of wheat. That's not a lot of wheat, is it? But it's equal to the penny, which equals 10 donkeys. Let's put it that way. That means, what's that describing to you? That's describing famine. Things are real expensive because they're real scarce. And that's what this is describing. It's just describing famine. All right, you ready to go to the are you getting it now? Let's go to the parallel text in Matthew 24. Let's go to the parallel text in Matthew 24. And notice what it says. I've done read this one, but this is half of it. So let me give you the other half. Matthew chapter 24. Notice verse 7. "Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be" what? What's it say there? Famines. And that's what the black horse represents. Famines. People starving for lack of food. You know, one of the things Jacob, you know, beloved, when I was reading this, you know, in a lot of places on the earth, people were starving. Do y'all realize? We live in America. In a lot of places in this world, people are starving. I've seen where they show refugees in places and they ain't got, they live in. It's just horrible. And they're starving. There's people starving all over the world. You go back 2,000 years ago when Jesus wrote this, there was people starving. And this black horse has been here for a while. The white horse has been here for a while. The red horse has been. These events are happening over and over again. And they will continue to happen until who sets up this kingdom? Until Jesus sets it up. He's just telling you you would see things like this, and we are. See, we're not waiting to see this happen. These things are happening now. This is kind of a general tribulation. That's why I said it was a general tribulation on the world. Famines is part of that. Wars, rumors of wars, part of that. False religion is part of that. All of that's a part of it. So famines is what's described. Let's go back to our text. Let's go to seal number 4. So verse 6 describes things. You're getting a whole lot less for a whole lot more. You know what I'm saying? You're paying a price that you could buy 10 donkeys with to get a quart of wheat. That describes famine. Now, I was going to say this a little while ago. You need to thank God for that full refrigerator you've got. We take that for granted. And the person that feeds us is our God. Don't forget who feeds you. Remember I said about Jacob. Jacob said about his God. He's the God that fed me all the days of my life. He feeds his people. You ever thank God for feeding you? You need to before you ever eat. Thank Him for what He give to you. Because I can guarantee you, there's people that was starving to give the right arm to have a good meal. All God's people said. All right, let me move on to seal 4, and I'll quit. I think I give you too much at one time, but I'll try to straighten that out next week. Let's move on to the fourth seal. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast saying, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the idea of pale horse is a greenish, has a greenish hue to it, is the idea when you look it up. And it pictures death. Death by sickness, death by disease. Death other than by natural causes. Earlier was death through wars and wars and things, taking peace from the earth. Well, this carries the idea of notice this. It says, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. His name sat on, and his name that sat on him was Death and Hell. Followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword. Kill how? Kill with the sword." Kill with hunger, kill with death, and with beasts of the earth. Now this just represents pestilence and sickness and death. That's what it pictures. And that's the fourth horse. This is things that you see now. People killed with the sword. That was the way they fought back then. Just talking again about wars and things. Talking about crime. Let's go ahead and turn to Matthew 24 and let's start to wind this up for tonight. Matthew 24. See, this is the parallel. Mark 13 goes with it and Luke 21 goes with it. I eventually will go to Luke 21. Matthew 24. Nation shall rise, at verse 7, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And there should be famines, there's pestilences. What else? Earthquakes. Are we seeing those things happen? Remember that tsunami a few years back? I can't remember the exact year of that. 2004 or something like that? That killed like 300,000 people. You know what caused that tsunami? It was an earthquake. Earthquake what caused it. I looked this up, and I haven't looked it up since, but man, if you would look up, Mike, I think you mentioned you looked it up too. If you look up online sometimes how many earthquakes happen a day, it'll scare you. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable how many earthquakes happen every day on this earth. That's happening. That's happening. So you have all that right here. Famines, pestilence, earthquakes in different places. Now, what's verse 8 say? All these are the beginning of what? Sorrows. That's just the beginning. And we've been having it. We've been having these things for a long time. That's the first four seals. Now, I said at the beginning, these four seals are a general tribulation on both saved and lost. Both saved and lost face these four seals that I just described to you. I mean, when that tsunami hit, it caused the earthquake. There's a lot of those people that don't you think that's all lost people that drowned it? That's why I say these pestilences are these first four horsemen. They of course are against just not God's people, but it's a general tribulation. God's people and lost people experience false religion, wars, rumors of wars, bloodshed, famines, and pestilences. Next week, if the Lord lets us live, when we look at seal number five, that's against just one group of people. Saved people. God's people will be persecuted on this earth. That's what the next seal will be. And that'll be verses 9 through 11, and that's what we'll look at next week. I'm going to have to stop. All God's people say, let's all stand. Thank you.